Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga Action in Krishna Consciousness, text number 23. Shakno Jihaiva Yaksodum Praksharira Vimokshana Kamakrodo Bhavandegam Sayukta Sasukinaraha Shaknoti is able. Eva, in the present body. Ya, one who. So doom, to tolerate. Prak, before. Sharira, the body. Vimokshanat, giving up. Kama, desire. Krodha, and anger. Udbhavam, generated from. Vegam, urges. Sa, he. Yukta, entranced. Sa, he. Suki, happy. Naraha, human being. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. Purport. If one wants to make steady progress on the path of self-realization, he must try to control the forces of the material senses. There are forces of talk, forces of anger, forces of mind, forces of the stomach, forces of the genitals, and forces of the tongue. One is able to control the forces of all these different senses in the mind is called Goswami or a Swami. Such Goswamis live strictly controlled lives and forgo altogether the forces of the senses. Material desires, when unsatiated, generate anger, and thus the mind, eyes, and chest become agitated. Therefore, one must practice to control them before one gives up this material body. One who can do this is understood to be self-realized and is thus happy in the state of self-realization. It is the duty of the transcendentalist to try strenuously to control desire and anger. Shakno dhyaiva yaksho so dum praksharira vimokshanat kamakrodha bhavan vegam siyukta sasakinara. Before giving up this present body, one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger. He is well situated and is happy in this world. This idea of controlling anything is sometimes hard to understand, since we're not supposed to be controlling anything. If Krishna is controlling everything, then what does that leave us? So what is our control? That's already been gone over in the early in the chapter. Nadate kasichit papam, na papam sukritim vibhu, agyane navritam jnana, tena mulyanti jantava. Nor is the Supreme Lord assume anyone sinful or their pious activities. That the embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. And the purport Prabhupada writes that desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entities. So though the conditioned soul is thinking that these are my desires to be fulfilled, but actually they're desires that are arising from our conditioned nature, from being in ignorance since time immemorial, avidya, we're accepting the accumulation of papam, sinful desires that are stored within our heart. And when they arise, then the tendency is, if we don't have something better to do, then we desire to fulfill those desires. Does anyone know that verse? We shouldn't desire to fulfill desires.
Yeah,
Yes, the person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into an ocean which is always being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So, Vishayam Vinivartante Niraharasi Dehinam Rasa Varjam Rasopyasya Param Drishva Nivartate. That invited soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, then one becomes fixed in consciousness. In other words, if we're actually thinking about Krishna, Krishna has a flute, he has a peacock feather, the Ruva Jamuna, there is Astasaki gopis, they're playing on the veena, tambura, mridanga. So if we're actually thinking like that, then if we're experiencing transcendental pleasure and some thought comes along, why don't you go to McDonald's hamburgers and get some French fries? I think we wouldn't even bother thinking, you know, that this is crazy. But if we're not doing anything, we're just sitting there thinking, I'm hungry, and the thought comes, hey, why don't we just go to McDonald's and get, you know, some French fries? Really? How much do they cost? So it's depending where, if we're unemployed, then Maya will employ us. She's an equal opportunity employer. She has practically everyone on her payroll in the material world. So the question is whether we're engaged in Krishna consciousness or not. Now, of course, for the advanced devotee who's on the stage of Ramanti, just by hearing about Krishna, that one is at the stage of remembrance, naturally. When Murari Gupta, who's a physician, was attending to the Muslim king, so he was, one of the servants came with a big peacock feather. Fan. And he started to fan the king while Murari Gupta was speaking to the king about some Ayurvedic remedy. And as soon as Murari Gupta saw the peacock fan, he remembered Krishna, and in ecstasy he fell off the dais of the king. Because as soon as he saw the peacock fan, he immediately remembered Krishna with the peacock and everything else. As soon as he remembered Krishna, he remembered his activities, etc. And he was completely absorbed in ecstasy. So he one of the sattvic bhavas is, he fainted. Now the king came off the dais and he thought maybe the physician was hurt and said, what's wrong? He said, well, I have this disease called epilepsy. And sometimes it attacks me and I faint. But the king was actually quite intelligent. He understood that. Actually, Murari Gupta is a very advanced devotee. That's the stage we like to come to, that whatever we look, Sarva Bhutistam Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshite Yoga Yukta Atma Sarvatra Samadarshanaha Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayi Pashyati Tasyaham Napranashami Sat Name Chapana. Yomam pachiti sarvatra sarvam chamayi pachiti dasyaham na pranashami sachame na pranashiti. That for one, a true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. If we're always in contact with Krishna, then we're always in ecstasy. And if we're in ecstasy, the insignificant, or as it said in one verse, tuchavat, the insignificant desires or opportunities in the material world for sense gratification seem tuchavat, seem insignificant. Tyaktva dharma chanam, and that's not right. That prayer is the sixth Goswami. Tyaktva turnamasheshamandala pati shanim sada tuchavat budva dina guneshako karunayam Gopi Baba Samrita Dilahari Kalola Mogna Mohura Tyaktvatornam Ashesha Mandalapati. So in the Krishna book, Prabhupada writes that as in the prayers of Srinivasacharya, the sixth Goswami, he mentions that they gave up their material, the opulent government, their government services and material opulent life, and went to Vrindavan where they lived like ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, in the role of Srimati Radharani, he was experiencing separation from Krishna. That those who are in the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should always feel the separation of Krishna. Worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental teachings, his entourage, his activities. The spiritual masters are enriched to the devotees to the highest devotional perfection. Feeling constant separation from Krishna while engaged in devotional service is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So, of course, for us, this idea of feeling separation from Krishna, probably the only thing we feel separation from is prasadam. And sometimes we feel separation from our bed when we're tired. The thing we're most attached to is usually our bed. In the morning, we hard to get out of it. That's called deep attachment. But there's such a thing when we actually experience some happiness, some love for Krishna, remembering Krishna, then we'll feel some some separation. Anything that will give us happiness, when we don't have it, then we feel separation from it. So, the development of the higher taste, as it says at the end, let's see, the third chapter actually, at the end of this chapter we'll go over that. Well, let's take another chapter. This chapter also, I think. That Arjuna is wondering, I guess that was the previous, that was the second chapter. He's wondering, ta keno priyukto yam papam charati purusha anicca napivarshneya baladi vinyojita. What is the force that impels us not to do what we're supposed to do? In other words, for someone who knows what they're actually supposed to do, which most people don't know, so they don't know they're not doing what they're not supposed to do because they don't know what to do anyhow. So for them, everything is wrong. Everything is... They think, chintyam aparayam cha pralayam tamupashitya kamapapogaparamam etivam iti nishita. That the whole idea is to gratify your senses into the end of life. That's the whole purpose, they think, of life. The only reason why you work is so you can get the money so you can party. Otherwise, there's no sense of working. So the whole idea is get money and then spend it for sense gratification. Divya charteha ya rajan kutumba varani nava nidriya nuriyate naktam vavavayena chavavayam. Divya charteha ya rajan kutumba varani nava. During the day, at night, nidriya, they're sleeping, or if they, especially they have a good day, they have sex life. Nidriya nriyate nakta, vavavayena chavavaya. Divya charteha rarajan, and during the day, what they're doing, they're working to get money, so their wife can go shopping, and buy all kinds of things, and you feel good, because the more we have in our house, the more we're making advancement. Or as it said in one bumper sticker, you know what you put at the in the license plate in America, they had one bumper sticker. Whoever gets the most toys at the end of life wins. So the whole idea is get as many toys as you can, and then you're a good person. Then you're actually doing something for humanity, increasing the gross national product. Now everyone's staying at home unproductively and they don't know what to do because they didn't know what to do when they were not doing nothing. they were just working hard for sense gratification, and now that they can't work hard for sense gratification, they don't see any purpose of even existing, except watching the same old commercials again, to buy the things that they can't afford anymore. So what's the point? The point is that one has to understand what they're supposed to be doing. Now, if the only advertisement that's going on is that to gratify the senses, which is what modern civilization is aiming at, all the advertisements, get the car. But why do you get the car? So you can impress everyone how strong and powerful you are. The whole society is meant to impress others that I'm strong and powerful, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. If you're with me, you'll also become a controller and enjoyer. Get the car, get the house, whatever. It's all meant to show that I'm so powerful that I can even conquer death. Hiranyakashipu couldn't do it, but I learned a few things since he left. Deha patya kala tradishu atma sanyesha satsupi tesham pramato nidanam pashana pina pashati. Now, the whole endeavor of the material civilization, why are we gratifying our senses? Ultimately to avoid death. Eat jhani or spinach or else you'll die. In India, as they used to tell us in America, in India, if you don't eat, you're going to get thin like the people in India and you'll die. So eat your rice and spinach. So everyone's afraid of death, ultimately. They're working hard to avoid death, although no one avoids death. But that's our desire. So we're eating, we're sleeping, and even sex life. Ultimately, the real thing is having children so we can live on beyond this body. So we'll have someone to go to our grave when we're buried and put some flowers there and cry a little bit, and then we'll feel good that we lived on. Our dynasty, our disciples' succession is intact. So this is the consciousness to avoid death, but no one avoids death. Therefore, what is the alternative? Tasmat sarvata bharata sarvatma. Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari, Shrotavyas Kirti Tavyas Cha, Smartavyak Cheha Tavayam. There's a substitute. There's an alternative to sense gratification. That is, to hear about, instead of the glories of sense gratification, hear about the glories of devotional service that can bring us to the platform of experiencing Krishna. Experience has to be there. Either we experience the contact of our senses with our objects, or we'll experience the contact of our spiritual senses with Krishna and the spiritual objects and the spiritual platform of consciousness. One of them produces enlightenment, and ecstasy. The other one produces anxiety, bewilderment, and ignorance. But if we have no experience of what it means to bring our consciousness by use of our intelligence in contact with Krishna, because we, in the human form of life, we have intelligence that can be cultivated so that we can learn how to hear about Krishna, how to chant about Krishna, how to remember Krishna in such ways that the mind becomes absorbed in thoughts about Krishna. The intelligence is the next door neighbor for the soul, as it says at the end of this chapter, I believe. No, it's not the end of this chapter. Anyhow, the end of the second chapter. And when the soul uses intelligence to take shelter of Krishna, to become Krishna conscious, then automatically the material senses and mind become satisfied and no longer are agitated by material desires. If one is actually experiencing pleasure from association with Krishna, then there's no point in looking for insignificant pleasure, which is just like a shadow compared to Krishna consciousness. But that has to be cultivated. that experience of Krishna by properly desiring. Because that's all we can do is desire. If we're hearing the glories of sense gratification, and that's, or even remembering it, going over our mind again and again, it was so nice, it was so, you know, I was so happy back then, and I was so free, I could do whatever I want, I slept 25 hours when I wanted to, and now, you know, everyone's bothering me, I can't, if I get sick, I'm lucky. There I could just go wherever I wanted, and I had pizza every day and ice cream, and here, you know, I got to accept whatever they gave me. I was so free and happy. You know, the mind can tell us everything. Go over again and again. Yes, yes, you're right. You're suffering. You're a good person, but you're suffering. And then one will become more and more attached to sense gratification. We gave it up because it was insignificant. But if we don't cultivate hearing and chanting about Krishna and actually absorbing our minds in such a way, we're able to experience the holy name, we're able to experience our worship of the deities, we're able to experience hearing and chanting from the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Unless it's an experience, then we'll have to look for some other experience. So basically, it says, give up desire and anger. Desire to become God. And the only way we give it up is to accept that everything here belongs to God. Therefore, there's nothing we can get that's going to make us any closer to being God. Even though we may surround ourselves with material objects, they never belong to us. And even if they, and what they, practically speaking, they're just manifestations of Krishna's energy that he's arranged because of previous desires and activities. And we're surrounded by them, thinking that we own something here, but we can't even control our own body. We're not even controlled of even one atom in the body. So where is the question of even owning the body? We're completely helpless. But we can desire. And somehow or another, whatever desire, whatever situation we're in the midst of, if we're desiring to serve Krishna in that situation, accepting that this is Krishna's energy, and then trying to ascertain through Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra what Krishna wants us to do and how to do it. Ascertain two things. What's our business and how's business? That's all we have to know. What is our business? And then we have to figure out how is our business going. And our business is to love Krishna. When we find out what our business is, then our business is to try to love Krishna. And how's business? Well, that there's so many symptoms. One of them is that the pushings of the senses become diminished. And instead, we develop the good qualities. Shanti Virakta Kaladvam Viraktamanushunyataha Ashavandas Mudkanta Namagana Siddharuchi Asaktis Tat Gunakane Pritis Cha Vishatis Dale Tat Ityanukan Nubavansyor Jane Nubavankune Jane. So we have to judge if we're actually getting detached, we're becoming peaceful, tolerant, shanti, avyakta kalatvam. We're not wasting our time. Viraktira, we're becoming detached. Manashunyataha, we're realizing we're 1/10,000th the size of Tipiharan size, and the only thing we can do is desire something to in service of Krishna under the guidance of his devotees. Ashavanda, hopeful that we're going to attain Krishna. Samudkanta, that we're eager to obtain Krishna. Namagana Siddharuchi, and develop a taste for chanting the holy name. An attachment to hearing the qualities of Krishna, Pritis Tat Vishatesale, an attraction for living in a holy place. So these are things we have to try to develop. And we develop them by coming to the temple and trying to pay attention, trying to understand where we are. Maybe early in the morning sometimes, but we're wondering, you know, what's going on here? Who are those people on the altar? How did I get here? It was so nice before. I was dreaming I was God. Now where am I? So we have to become conscious, wake up a little bit, see where we are, see what we're supposed to do, and then see how we're doing, and then try to improve a little bit. Pray to Krishna for the intelligence of how to improve, because it's by our intelligence. If Krishna gives us intelligence, everything becomes easier. And unless we ask for the intelligence, unless we do something to get the intelligence, everything is very, very difficult. Without intelligence, we can't do anything. And the worst thing is to think we actually have intelligence already. Prabhupada said that one person's asking another, are you intelligent? And the person, the man he asked is checking his pocket to see if there's any money. The idea is if he has money in his pocket, he must be intelligent. No, but we have to pray to Krishna, please give me intelligence, Hare Krishna. Please give me spiritual intelligence so that I can actually make some spiritual progress. I can actually experience you and Srimati Radharani when I'm chanting the holy name. It's not just, you know, some kind of machine chanting and I'm somewhere floating in the background. When my machine finishes the daily routine of chanting the 16 rounds, then I come back and find out what happened. See if everything's all right. No, we have to pray for the intelligence, such intelligence, that when we chant Hare Krishna, we can actually feel Krishna's presence. We can actually remember Krishna and progressively go through the process, remembering Krishna's forms, his qualities, his associates, their pastimes, and actually see externally outside Krishna and his associates, see this world as part of Krishna's pastimes, see the Sankirtan movement as Krishna's rasa dance in Kali Yuga, and inside remember Krishna. And that way, desire and anger will actually be controlled, because they won't appear. Or if they do appear, we won't take them seriously and desire to fulfill those desires. Generally they're very strong, and they say, you can't refuse me. And we say, well, I don't want to refuse, I'm not going to refuse you. As soon as you start arguing with material desire, then it gets stronger. Oh yeah? And it's, so arguing with material desire is just a waste of time. Oh no, Maya, don't come and attack me. No, no, please don't come. Yes, I'm going to come and attack you. Boo, no, please don't. Boo, boo, oh. So as soon as we become under the control, you know, become disturbed by Maya, then Maya says, oh yes, I got you. Boo, 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 no! Stop, stop, I'll do anything. Yes, anything. But if Maya goes boo and you go, oh, come on. Is that, let me do something more, you know, just don't waste my time. Then Maya will go away. She says, well, actually, I'm not going to waste my time. I got better people to disturb than you. So one has to come to a platform where one is actually satisfied in Krishna consciousness, and then Maya won't be disturbing us so much. Of course, it's not that Maya gives up. Oh, he's you know, a little happy in Krishna consciousness. No, Maya is meant to test us every stage. So, therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story of Bharat Maharaj, who is absorbed in meditation in Krishna, nothing to become attracted to, and he fell in love with a deer cub. It must have been a very pretty deer cub. After all, it was just a deer cub. So he went from the highest stage, practically he was at the beginning of bhava, and then he fell down to become a deer. So these examples are given there. Not that I'm in ecstasy, not that I'm actually developed some love for Krishna, and therefore I'm safe. And the Maya says, oh, right, he thinks he's proud and puffed up. He thinks he's beyond my control. Then Maya will come and give us a, as the Mafia says, give him a deal he can't refuse. Like Vishwamrita Muni, after 120 years, 120,000 years of the demigods, he became attracted just by ankle bells. First it was 160,000 years, he heard the ankle bells, and he opened his eyes to see what he was going to give up. And he said, wow, that's too much. I can't give it up. That's too much. And he lost it. And then 100 years married to Menaka, having Shakuntala as a daughter. And he said, wait a second. I just spent 60,000 years meditating to become a Brahmin, and I wound up with a kid. What's wrong? I'm going to get back to it again. Another 60,000 years went back in meditation. Again, Indra sent an apsara, and he was so angry. Oh, he's going to waste my time again. You know, this apsara is coming to seduce me. And he opened his eyes in anger, and flames came out of his eyes and burned the apsara to ashes. And this way he fell down due to anger. Then another 60,000 years went by. So now it's 180,000 years of the demigods have just gone by. And finally, the demigod said, all right, give him Brahman a second initiation. He really wants it, I guess. So Brahma came and they had a little fire sacrifice and gave him the sacred thread, gave him the mantras, and he became a Brahman. Luckily, we don't have to go through that to get second initiation. Or else we'd probably find a lot of ashes around from all the apsaras. So the idea is, if we cultivate Krishna consciousness and get a higher taste, then we won't be disturbed by the allurements of the illusory energy, but we have to be careful until we reach perfection. Until nature is always yogas chalati manasa, is always trying to allure the soul, especially through women and wealth, women for men and men for women, to distract us from actually becoming Krishna conscious. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes. Surprise, someone.
You quoted chapter 3 about manasastu parabuddhi, that intelligence is higher than the mind. At the same time, in the third canto, we hear that the mind belongs to the sattvic category and intelligence to the rajasic category. It's the classic question. What's your answer to this?
Well, at the beginning of the manifestation, it says that the elements are formed from the false ego, but the false ego has three stages, in ignorance, passion, and goodness. So from the false ego and passion, the impetus to do something in the material world, which is passion. In other words, the intelligence is born in the material world, the material energy, to do something. In order to do something, you have to have some vision of what to do, otherwise you can't do anything. And the mind is born out of the mode of goodness, which is the receptive part, which is more or less clear at the beginning, but when it falls into the mode, when the intelligence in the mode of passion, then it becomes also involved in the mode of passion. But intelligence in the material world at the beginning is formed in order to give us impetus to do things. But intelligence, when it comes in contact like Brahma, he was sitting on the lotus flower. His intelligence was bewildered because he was in ignorance. But then when he heard the word tapa and he meditated, then his intelligence became purified, and he utilized it to become Krishna conscious. So it depends on how the beginning intelligence in the material world is by nature in the mode of ignorance, or in the mode of passion, because that's why we came here. But when it's purified by association with pure devotion, then it becomes in goodness, and the mind stays in goodness. The mind, when it's thinking of Krishna, it stays in goodness and becomes purified by intelligence and goodness. But generally, when the mind, when the intelligence is in mode of passion, then it's utilized in passion activities, and the mind becomes covered by passion too, or ignorance. At just the beginning, it's passionate, and then it can be purified. Because no one comes to the material world as a conditioned soul because they're purely in goodness. Is that right?
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
So Maharaj, sometimes I hear devotees say after, let's say, a few days of, or maybe even more, of devotional service, let's say some holy name festivals come or something, and when they are not just physically tired, they just want to have some time for themselves, they say, you know. It's just like, now I need some time for myself, they say.
So yeah, we do need time for the self, for the spirit self.
So this is because of what's lacking of higher taste, or I mean...
Well, first of all, we don't know who we are, so when we say, we just need some rest, I mean, that's normal. Even Krishna takes rest. But to speak of our little selves, I mean, the body gets tired, because that's the nature. There's a cycle of activity and there's a cycle of rest. It's just perfectly natural. Even in the spiritual world, it goes on like that. It's not that Krishna is doing his spiritual activities. I mean, practically, it's, of course, we can say 24 hours a day, but that doesn't mean anything in the spiritual world. But Krishna has some time, little time, in the morning when he gets up, and when after he's with Srimati Radharani and the gopis at night, he goes back and takes a little bit of rest before Mother Jasoda comes and wakes him, and he doesn't want to wake up. Mother Jasoda is thinking, well, what's wrong with him, you know? He's been sleeping all night, and he still can't get up. He's usually not so lazy. She doesn't realize it's been 5 minutes since he went to bed. So Krishna gets a little bit of rest, but he's pretty busy. But he has a spiritual body. We have a material one, so we're not on the same level. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yuktahara viharasya, yuktahara viharasya, yuktachetsa sukaramasu, yuktaswar vodasya, yoga bhavati dukaha. Natnashnatasti yogosti, nachankantam natnashnata, nachaiti swapna yogasya, chagato naivacharjana. The yogi doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little, but his temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, work, and recreation can mitigate the material pains by practice of the yoga system. So just regulation. The problem is, if we don't have a clear, you know, if we have too many festivals and the only regulation we have is irregulation, then that's not so good. If we're doing too much and the only regulator thing we have going is irregulation, then we won't last very long. As they say, we get burnt out. The body can't take it. The mind can't take it. Anything else?
You were mentioning experiencing Krishna and his consort during the chanting.
His consort? Consort.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say consort, but anyhow, that's it.
Yeah, I didn't. Can you share something more on this?
Yeah, we just have to listen. But listening is not so easy. In other words, as soon as we chant three mantras and we haven't thought of something, we start thinking, what went wrong? Something's wrong, I'm missing something here. Maya says, yeah, that's right, you know, you forgot me, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, how do you avoid this?
How to avoid it? Practice.
I mean, we are afraid. You hear mantra, where is my mind?
Yeah, right. So we have to chant. The most effective thing is to chant sincerely. So we have something to strive for. We should listen to our chanting, and we should listen and see if we're actually thinking, if we're judging that I'm chanting sincerely to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage me in their loving service. And if we see that we're either inattentive, we're bored, we're not really sincere, then we should try to become sincere, try and chant sincerely. And then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to do it, if that's what we're trying to do. And if we couldn't care less, we just want to get our rounds done. And there's many interesting things going in my mind that I never thought of before. You know, the holy name has stimulated me. then we'll be wasting our time. We won't pray to Krishna. We won't make any spiritual progress because we have no desire to. So we should be a little concerned whether or not I'm actually chanting attentively, I'm chanting sincerely, I'm chanting like a child calling for its mother or not. We should listen to ourselves and then try to change our chanting, how we're chanting, so that we can listen and we actually hear ourselves sincerely chanting for Krishna. And if we're doing that, then the most likely thing is that we'll start remembering Krishna spontaneously. And that's called Krishna consciousness. But if during the day we're engaged in all kinds of other things, other than Krishna consciousness, when we start chanting, that's what we're probably going to remember. And so we have to make a really special effort to chant sincerely.
But you cannot just continue and yearn for Krishna with
pain. No, it's not yearning. It's not quite, oh, Krishna, Krishna, oh, I can't chant anymore. I'm too much in ecstasy, too much feeling separation. No, just chant sincerely. And if the mind says, well, why are you doing this? Well, just think, I'm 1/10,000th the size of the hair in size. I'm so puffed up, I'm so bewildered, deluded by material energy. I'm actually thinking I'm this body. I'm about to die at any moment. There's good reason why I'm chanting. And if you give Maya those reasons, Maya will say, yeah, wow, my God, I should be chanting too. So we have to have enough intelligence for why we're doing it, and then we won't become distracted. And it's not something we made up. It's reality. That's what reality is. Maya is just giving us some fairy tale. This is reality.
Yeah, we are not sure that this is real. This morning ritual, nothing happens. Mahamantra, yes, okay. I mean, I'm not sure that Krishna is listening. But he is.
Well, therefore we have to read Prabhupada's books and stimulate our intelligence, spiritual intelligence. And then something may enter, some understanding may enter if we read in the right way with the right attitude. And then it'll become clearer. Or as Prabhupada writes, that when one passes the test of the spiritual master, then he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. And one should only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So, there's a process. Submission, but submission itself is not going to help us. Submission, but there has to be service too. We have to do something, make an effort. So if the student is always submissive, is ready to render service, then if we're actually inquisitive what this is all about, we may not know what it's all about, but if we want to find out what it's all about, then the reciprocation of inquiries and knowledge becomes perfect. Then Krishna will reveal these things to us. If we're bewildered, we don't know, then we have to find out. It may be real, it may not be real, but there's a process of finding out. And if we actually sincerely take to the process, and Krishna doesn't reciprocate, then we're very unfortunate. But if we sincerely take to the process and Krishna reciprocates, then we'll realize it's the validity of what we're doing. If Krishna is actually God and he's on the altar, he can reveal himself if we want him to. if we think, oh, please don't reveal yourself to me. You'll spoil my material life. I got so many things planned out. Please don't do it, Krishna. No, no, don't do it. I told you not to do it. He won't do it. He's not going to spoil our material life if we don't want him to. Or as one priest was praying, my dear Lord, please make me celibate. But not quite yet. Yes.
I have just a question about our goal. It's our goal to see Krishna or just to be involved in the service to Krishna?
No, we want, of course, we want to remember Krishna. We're not impersonalists. Oh, I've seen Brahman. I don't want anything else. I don't want to remember Krishna. Just Brahman is perfect. Oh, I can't even remember Brahman. Oh, there's so many nice things here in the material world. Who needs Krishna? Because Krishna, his form is seeing, remembering Krishna's form is perfection in devotion. We want to remember it always. The perfection in it, according to Bhagavad Gita 7:28, is that one falls in love with Krishna. First of all, one is in trance. One goes through the stage of acting pious, religiously. Then one acts piously. Then one conquers sinful reactions, accepts actual devotional service, and rises to the platform of understanding Krishna in truth. And then one meditates in trance upon Krishna out of love. So we want to meditate in trance. Always see Krishna. Premanjana trita bhakti balochanena santaksadai vridhya viloka yanti yam shayama sindra achintya guru swarupam govindam adi purusham tamahan bhajami. So the perfectionist is always see Shyama Sundar within our heart and never forget him.